Unfortunately, this Shabbat, I came home Friday night from my sister-in-law's apartment. So I wanted to make myself a nice chai so I could stay up late and learn a lot of Torah. I went over to my urn and I realized the light is off. What happened? What happened? Kapara Basha, the Satan jiggled the plug and it was in the wrong angle in the outlet, so it wasn't on anymore. Turned off. I had no urn, no hot water, no chai, no nothing. It was
a month ago also. It's a terrible feeling.
It's terrible. So in the morning when I woke up, I needed a chai. I didn't have any hot water. It was terrible. This past Shabbat. It was terrible. I didn't have any hot water. So I went to Yeshiva. I went to the Sephardi Minyan. And they only have hot water and coffee. Like, who wants that? Who wants coffee? I haven't had coffee since, like, one twice in Cheshvan, and since before that was Elul. who needs coffee? I want to chai. So I went over to the rabbi. I'm like, I have a complaint. And he thought I was going to complain about social distancing, which unfortunately not every college guy understands what that means. And then I'm like, I have a complaint. And he looked at me. And I'm like, there isn't any chai. and he laughed. And he said, there is. Go in the cabinets. Go take some chai. I'm like, oh. Okay. So I went and I got a chai. I was awake for all davening. Baruch Hashem. So sometimes if I don't have a chai before davening, I think I'll be okay. But then we get to like Shemi Shlishi in Kriyat HaTorah, and I'm out. And sometimes even earlier than that. It's Hashem Yazor. So it's not Pashut things. And I'm not the only one who has this problem.
The Rebbeson doesn't drink coffee?
Huh?
The Rebbeson doesn't drink coffee?
No. She does not drink any coffee. It's not her. She does not have this problem of not having hot water. But Rav Eliyahu Bachshi Doron, who was the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael 30 years ago, 20 years ago or so, until 2003, Rav Eliyahu Bachshi Doron was also a super Persian, and he drank a lot of chai. So he was very machbid every single day. He and his wife would daven nates every single day. His father-in-law like wrote a whole article about how important it is to daven nates. So from then on, like he and his wife, they always daven nates every single day. And he says how like Shabbat morning goes to shul and nates is very early. He wants to have a chai. But sometimes you by the time you get to shul and you make the chai and it cools down, because you're not adding any milk to the chai, so it doesn't cool off right away. It cools down, you're drinking it, and they're already at Pisukei de Zimra. So how are you supposed to drink your chai? You said a bracha already before. But can you drink your chai during Pisukei de Zimra in order to help you daven or not?
Instinctively, I would always say no.
You would say no. Why would you say no?
This is not a tea time with Hashem.
Tea time. It's funny you said it that way. When we were in Hank, the Svardi Minyan, there was a big misconception. Some people said this is Svardi Minyan. If your skin is dark enough, you belong here. And it really wasn't true. This was the Minyan for people who want to daven. It's very synonymous with Svaradi. But if it's not true for you, then you're not really welcome here, is really how we explained it to them, to the 9th grade, 12th, 10th, 11th, and 12th graders who were not interested in davening. So I forgot who it was. Maybe it was one of the Rebbe's. Maybe it was Rabbi Moshe, Rabbi Adam. I think it was Rabbi Adam even. I don't remember exactly.
You're the same age as Rabbi Adam?
No, I'm younger than him.
Okay.
Actually, no, it wasn't the rabbi. It was either Rabbi Adam or Eddie Kaladi, one of the two.
Okay.
Who was like yelling at like, yo, freshies, this isn't a coffee corner, a coffee club.
Nice.
So you're right. It's not tea time with Hashem. It's not coffee corner with Hashem either.
Yeah.
But sometimes, so certainly there is an element of the laxity that comes with, you know, sitting back and sipping a chai. And, you know, next thing you know, depending on where you are, people might even be smoking cigarettes, or they'll be schmoozing, or doing other things.
Smoking cigarettes is a sure to begin with, but even then, it's even worse.
Right. right? So I have to really consider what could come out of this, the after effects that could come out of this, depending on what you say. The decorum of the shul and the davening would also be very important. That's 100% true. Well, let's say somebody needs it. He's dead tired. He slept for 2 hours last night or 4 hours last night. He needs it to stay awake. It's Nate's Shabbat. You know, it was a long
cigarette.
No, the coffee.
Oh, coffee. Okay, okay.
Buy the cigarette. Hashem Yazor. Get help. It's not easy, but you can get help. Okay, addictions are not easy to get over, but everyone should get the help that they need and succeed. But in terms of the coffee, the chai, is it mutar for a person to, if he's really falling asleep, he just can't focus without it, or he has a real issue that he needs to always be hydrated. He needs to always be drinking water. Can't take big breaks. Or whatever the reason might be, he has to take a pill at a certain hour, and it's always during davening. Is he allowed to during Kesukah Dezimra, maybe even during Kriyat Shema and its Berachot?
I mean, do you consider his doze off the hefsek, or do you consider the coffee the hefsek?
I'm not talking about the dozing off being a hefsek. I'm just talking about the coffee being a hefsek. And you're hitting the nail on the head. Is this an issue of hefsek? Yeah. Are you allowed to drink coffee at these various points of davening when we do always try to figure out, is this, am I allowed to do X, Y, answer X, answer Y, to Kaddish, Baruch Hu, are these hefsekim, people talking to me, Meshiv, the Mishnah says in Baruch Hu, responding for Kavod and Yura, depending on what I'm up to. These are all very important considerations. 100%. So, Rav Eliyahu Bachshi Doron addresses some of them. He really focuses on the hefsek issue. But after a little bit more research, I discovered that there's a number of challenges here. Hefsek is only one of them. So, I thought that would be kedai to run through a lot of Hilchot Tefillah, as this question has numerous components to it, not just the matter of hefsek. So I wanted to go through those, and I think that with that, we'll get a taste of various parts of Hilchot Tefillah, and B, it's a very practical question. Rav Eliyahu Bachshi Doron, Zatzal, had a yeshiva, Binyan Av, in Yerushalayim, and there's a couple of guys in YU who learned there before they came here, and one of them I once saw, Emil Shacharit, sitting there, Az Yashir Moshe, Have a sip. As he said, and I'm like, where'd you get this from? He's like, Chuba Binyanav. Like, oh, really? Okay. So I got to go look. Binyanav is also the sefer of Rav Eliyahu Bachshi Doron. Binyan Aleph Bet Eliyahu Bachshi. So Rav Bachshi Doron has this teshuvah that he wrote in Binyanav. And I think it's very interesting to go through. And I also thought I found a few other things along the way. So, first of all, step number one is whoever said it's mutar to drink anything in the morning before davening. Before we talk about during davening, we first have to establish what are the parameters for eating and drinking beforehand. The Gemara in Berachot actually says that lo tochelu al hadam, you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, right, on blood. The Gemara has six or so different derashot that come out of that pasuk. One of them is lo tochelu, don't eat, ad shetit palalu al damchem, before you pray for your blood, pray for your life, don't eat anything.
Simperik dalet, this pasuk in Masech Brachot.
Oh, okay, fine. It's Simperik dalet. It's in Anaf Lamed Better So. Perik dalet is about Chav Zayin or so. Okay, fine.
No, it's not?
I'm remembering a different daf. Might be. I have to double check what daf it's on. It's in Orach Chaim in Siman Peitet Sif Gimel. That is Chelik Aleph of Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch passing is Gemara L'Halacha. He's trying to answer the question also. He knows where it is.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
But let's just get something off the ground. L'chadchila, no way it's like it's okay.
Says who? Let's see.
The chatchila is really the question we're making here, right?
The chatchila, what's not okay?
We're fighting for the chatchila. It's okay to drink coffee and tea while praying.
I don't know. Let's. For me, everything is on the table.
Let's do it.
I don't see why should you we have to come with an open mind, open heart. What could the halakha be? And if you're willing to accept what the poskim say, or what the sugya says. These are important questions. I'm seeing right now on in Shulchan Aruch that it's a Gemara in Berachot on the Af Yud to not be eating. So Gemara in Berachot is on Af Yud, not eating. And there's another pasuk the Gemara brings also is Otzi Hishlachta Achar Gevecha, that you threw me behind your body. So you're busy with your body and you put Hashem aside. You went to go eat breakfast before you went to shul in the morning. So the Gemara there says that water would be fine before davening.
Right.
Because water is not derech ga'ava. Ge'echa, ga'ava, haughtiness. It's very haughty to be eating and drinking before you go talk to Hashem.
Okay, before. We're not talking about before. We're talking about during.
Right. But first you have to get the during part because the before part. Because if the before part's not okay, then the during isn't either.
Right.
Right? So it all depends on when you're done davening. So, this halacha about what you're not allowed to eat or drink during davening has had many iterations. We no longer observe it the same way they did back in the day. Because the Gemara, the halacha allows for a person who needs to eat before davening when it's letzorech rifu'ah. If he's not feeling well, he needs to eat before or drink before davening because he's not able to concentrate because he's not feeling well. So then that would be permissible. So this person, it's not derech ga'ava. It would be okay. That's really the general idea when it's not derech ga'ava. So Shulchan Aruch continues though and see if Dalit and see on Peitet, a person who is thirsty, or he's super hungry, and he won't be able to focus on his davening, is allowed to eat also. And he's allowed to drink also before Shachar.
Right.
If he's incapable of focusing for that long.
Right. Now what was the thing that in the one before you just said?
The one before was a sick person.
Oh, but they're the same.
That's the point, that they're the same. Right. But then the Ikar Halacha is the sick person, and then the next step is the Rambam says a person who is incapable of focusing because he's so hungry and so thirsty. Something in America, Shachar on Shabbat starts at 9 o'clock, 9:30 in many shuls. Right? When people, you don't get home until 12:30, 1 all o'clock times.
Right.
Right, exactly. Some people are so used to eating breakfast at 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning. It's a huge deal. So they want to eat before. They won't be able to focus for that long. So that would be a reason to be makil, maybe. I can definitely understand it. So That's step number two of the halacha already. But even before that, it's not so pasha that really drinking water is okay. There is a chumrah based on the Rambam and the Chida brings that you really shouldn't even be drinking water before Shacharit. We don't accept this chumrah l'maaseh, but there are those who do. There are those who do, not even drinking water. And over the generations, honestly, this halacha of, you know...
Is anyone like famous that holds by that?
I don't know if it's so well known. The Chida quotes it from the Rambam as a good thing to do. I think.
I know the
Chida does say that in Birkei Yosef. Yeah, I think so. I don't think he says it in the Maaseh, but he does mention it's like Tavala Bracha if you want to keep the Rambam. It's not a nothing. It's not an obscure source. It's the Rambam. So then he says you're not eat anything. If you're thirsty, it's a different story. But a normal person, maybe if you're not even thirsty, you're able to focus, you can still drink water. But Rambam seems to say not even that. And then this kula, this exception for somebody who's exceptionally thirsty and hungry, has really been, I don't know if the word is abused, it's really been invoked numerous times over the generations to the point that, you know, it's very different from what it used to be. You know, it used to be you're not allowed to eat anything, drink anything, unless you really are thirsty. Well, and water was the machloket.
Guilty.
Right. Well, it's different still. We'll see.
What about you eat or drink before tefillah?
Sometimes I have water before Shachar.
No, not water. We're talking about something substantial.
We're getting there. That's the thing. Over the course of time, when coffee and tea were introduced into different communities, the postgame had to grapple with, can I drink this before Shachar? People are drinking this all the time and it gives them caffeine and they need the caffeine to stay awake. So if you don't have the caffeine, you're not going to be able to focus on your davening.
Right.
So the postgame said, okay, what's the minimum amount that you need in order to hold yourself down for davening? Black coffee, black tea, great. That's all you're allowed to do. No milk or sugar allowed. And then the post came over more time, said, you know what? People are having trouble with just that. Black coffee is gross. Black tea, if you're not Persian, it's not your thing. So you want to add sugar to it? You want to add milk to it? No sugar, but milk is okay. As Chafetz Chaim said, no sugar, but milk is okay.
Yeah.
And now modern day post came, like, some people just can't drink their coffee without sugar. So they can't drink their tea without sugar. I can drink green tea without honey, but it's not the same. Not the same. So maybe we should allow that also. So some postkim said, you're right, sugar is fine too. And then over generations, it kept on iterating, kept on changing to whatever it was that people just couldn't function without. I think I saw that Rebelsky holds, even orange juice is okay. Because nowadays, people in America are still used to drinking orange juice all the time, and even orange juice is okay before Shachar. Ravadia does not agree with that. No juices allowed. Only tea and coffee. But okay. You know, Chabadniks have a whole breakfast before Shachar because they hold that. You need it to focus. Hachana for davening. But there are some poskim who say, relax, relax. Listen, it doesn't mean you wake up in the morning, do it you're dying, sit down and have breakfast. You have to say Birkot HaShachar, Birkot HaTorah, the Akedah, the Korban HaTamid. You have to do say a little bit of tefillah first. Especially because tefillah de'oraita doesn't mean Shemona Yisrei. Tefillah de'oraita, you for sure fulfilled already with
Brachot Shema.
Huh?
Brachot Shema.
You don't even need Birkot Kriyat Shema. You can fulfill tefillah de'oraita with just Mode'ani and Birkot HaShachar and Birkot HaTorah. Nila Torah, you're Yotzei tefillah already. Midrabanan, we have the Brachot on Kriyat Shema, we have Kriyat Shema, Nila Torah, but that's not tefillah. Yeah, Shemona Yisrei, that's Midrabanan.
Right.
Well, we don't need that in order to fulfill the mitzvah deoraita of tefillah every single day. So really, once you fulfill the mitzvah deoraita, then on a deoraita level, you might not be violating this not eating before Shachar problem. So that's one thing to keep in mind. So others say, you know, you took care of the tefillah thing. What about the tefillin thing? You're not allowed to eat before doing any mitzvah. Tefillin, Bitikat Chametz, Shofar, Megillah, Lulav. You're really not supposed to eat before any of those mitzvot, not just Tefillah. So some say putting your Tefillin first, maybe. There are different things out there. But L'maaseh, what we can get to, though, is that really nowadays, there is plenty of room to permit somebody to drink a cup of tea or coffee with whatever he needs, basically, before Shachar. That much we can agree upon. There might be different postgame at different points. We'll say things a little bit differently, but today, it would be okay. An additional issue number two, that a postgame has to grapple with when it comes to this halakha, is not of Bachshi Doron's Shailan Shabbat or my Shailan Shabbat, but during the week, you're wearing tefillin. Since when is it permissible to pray, to eat, with one's tefillin on? So that's also a very simple halacha.
No, that you, as long as it's not more than a certain amount of mezonot, a person is permitted.
Bidyuk. Only sudat keva requires one to remove his tefillin. Right. Aval, Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Mem, in Seif Ched, Achilat Arai, Ein Sarech Lecholtzah. You don't have to take off your tefillin for Achilat Arai. So in Hank, on Chanukah, or the end of the year, Rebbe would buy us donuts every year for the Svardi Minyan. You have to take them off.
Right.
It's Achilat Keva. It's Achilat Rai, not Achilat Keva. 100%, right? But it's also something that has to be emphasized. You're wearing tefillin. Is this really, like you're saying, the decorum for you? It might be, it might not be. Let's figure that out. An additional factor, number three, is not just before davening, is it okay? Not what are you doing? It's where are you? You're in Beit HaKnesset. You're in the Beit HaMidrash. Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Kuf Nun Aleph, in Hilchot Beit HaKnesset, that it's usur to eat in a Beit HaKnesset.
Nothing in a Beit HaKnesset these days anyway.
Ah, why not?
Because you can't even talk in a Beit HaKnesset. You can't even say the Dvarah Torah.
Oof, you're a big mach here.
No, it's Pashut Masechet Megillah.
Oh, you're a big mach here.
No, why?
And you're saying we shouldn't even be learning to teaching Torah?
No, you can't speak. You can learn. You just can't speak.
You can't speak words of?
You can't say Dvar Torah, like, yeah, out loud.
So it depends really where you are. Not, first of all, in Shari Rachamim, downstairs is a Beit HaMidrash.
Everything has a din of Beit Midrash. There's no Beit Knesset, Doraita Beit Knesset, anywhere in the world. Where is nowhere?
You think upstairs in the sanctuary where there are no Svarim?
When you inaugurate it, you don't inaugurate it as a Beit Knesset. You inaugurate it as a Beit Midrash so that you can
do it. Okay, good. You do it with Kavanah, that should be Beit Knesset, not Beit Midrash. That way, for Chachamim and Talmideim, it's okay for them to eat and drink and hang out in the Beit Midrash. Good, good. But I don't know if that's going to always be true.
It's always true everywhere, Rabbi. What do you mean? There's no Beit Knesset, like Mamash Beit Knesset anywhere in the world. Why everything not? Is in a Beit Midrash.
Why not?
No, because then you run into the problems of if a chair breaks, what do you do?
Right, yeah, then we have these problems. Chacham Avadia has teshuvot about these problems.
I've never heard of anywhere in the world having the din of a Beit Knesset, but I Beit Knesset as in the sense of no talking, no eating, no speaking, no putting your head down, no, you know, like...
People don't know the halacha properly sometimes.
No, they wouldn't dig a ditch for people like that.
I don't know if it's like that. I think that, and especially when you have these shuls that were built without a Beit Midrash component to them.
Even if it's not a Beit Midrash, but a Beit Midrash, even if it's a shul, like any sanctuary, you just call it a Beit Midrash. If
you only use it for Torah, for davening, not for Torah study, then it is a Beit HaKnesset, right?
No, but there's,
but okay, we'll leave this point on the side. And we'll point out how, even if it is a Beit HaKnesset, is there a way we can make this happen? First of all, in Chutz La'aretz, all the Batei Knesiyot are built al Tanai, right? There's a Tanai stipulates that they're not full-blown Beit HaKnesset, which might be part of what you're saying.
Right.
And secondly, we do permit eating and drinking in the Beit HaKnesset when it is Sorech Beit HaKnesset. And here, you want me to be able to stay in the shul, I need to have a drink of coffee. Otherwise, I won't be able to stay inside. So that is an important point. At the same time, the point you made at the very beginning is very true. I saw an article by Rabbi something Klein from Kivat Asaf, which is one of those little kibbutzim, not even, you know, one of those little settlements in Eretz Yisrael and Yehuda v'Shomron, where they literally live in like trailers.
Right.
And he was saying, like, it's just not the right decorum. You know, one thing leads to another. Can you imagine if you had an interview with a very important leader, the President of the United States of America, and you were already in the interviewing room? Would you be sitting there drinking a tea, drinking a coffee? Are you kidding? Even if they needed to focus, like, walk out, drink it, and come back. It's not, and especially even if you have, you can, you know, grind out a heter to make it okay. The next person sees you, he's not going to be writing a teshuvah about why it's okay in his head. He's going to say, if the rabbi does it, I can do it too. There are lots of things that I can tell you are mutar, but if you do them, people will misunderstand, see it, and go and do it much worse.
Yeah.
So that would definitely be an important factor here as well. But Kiddushah Beit HaKnesset, the decorum of Beit HaKnesset, is a primary concern. What about Shabbat? Shabbat, you have the problem of Kiddush. But you and I know the answer, Baruch Hashem. Before you pray Shacharit, there is no Isur, there is no Chiyuv Kiddush. You can't even say Kiddush before Shacharit.
Right.
Lamase. So in some situation, and you can definitely drink before Shacharit. The question is between Shacharit and Musa. Which is the Chazanim question. Can the Chazan have a drink of water between Shacharit and Musaf? Rav Avadia has like a Sveik-Sveika. If you have no other choice, no other Chazan, he needs to take a drink, so then he would be okay between Shacharit and Musaf. But that's not going to apply to all the people who are falling asleep in shul right now. So I don't think we can give them that, give that to them.
I can argue against that, but I actually don't hold by it myself. I don't say Kiddush between Shachar to Musaf, but I have an argument for someone that does.
That they should or should not?
That they should.
And they should say Kiddush, even if they're going to eat it for Shachar and Musaf. Listen, I'm
between Musaf and Shachar.
I'm pro it also.
I'm not pro it. I don't hold by it. I think that a person should refrain, but I have an actual... I made up my own source.
Oh, what's it called?
How many times on a Shabbat do we pray Musaf?
One time.
How many times on a Shabbat do we say Kiddush?
Two times.
Therefore, we say two times. Therefore, that which comes more often supersedes that which comes less often. So we should say Kiddush.
Okay.
First.
So maybe next time you see a Kiddush club in 54, go ask them to say the Dvar Torah.
I don't have those shoulders. I can't say that.
Hey, just say the Dvar Torah. And to everybody, let's count together. How many times? Just kidding. Okay, anyway, that would be very, very chutzpahdik.
It would be good to teach them the halakha of what of that, you know.
Yeah, really. The move is not to be the one to say it yourself. The move is to get like a little 10-year-old to walk into the shul and say the Dvar Torah and just tell him what to say in advance. Mikey Levy does this sometimes because there are lots of old Persians who like wear their talit like a scarf, and they don't realize they're not yotzei. So he said he's like yelled at the old people a million times, doesn't work. So Mikey did one time, or Roey, I think Roey did this one time. Mikey, Roey, one of them did, or both of them. So they got a kid in the camp on a random day, on a weekday, to come in after Shacharit in 54, and the sweetest little, you know, high-pitched, you know, 10-year-old voice say like, we have 4 seats, and we're supposed to have 2 in the front and 2 in the back. And that's why you can't wear like a shawl. And everybody's like, Barikallah, Barikallah, very nice. You are the best. I love you. Very nice. And like, it goes off so much better. It goes on so much better than if you just like get up there like you, like, oh, you are fanatic. I cannot listen to you. You do not know what you're talking about. We do not do it like this in Iran. Yeah. You get the picture. You have to know how to be a diplomat when it comes to these things.
Yeah.
Is that Hashem? But maybe if you get the right kid to say your Dvar Torah, maybe it'll get someone.
No, I don't want to spread that. I don't hold by that.
I'm saying you don't have to do it. Okay, fine. Now let's move on to Rav Ashi Doron's teshuvah. Really, that's like the meat and potatoes here. I'm already running out of time. Rav Ashi Doron in Binyan Av in Chelek Vav in Siman Aleph of Binyan Av is unfortunately the last Binyan Av that he published in his lifetime, I think. Rav Ashi Doron quotes, it says, Halakha l'maaseh, in Orachayim, in Hilchot Pesukei Dezimra, in Siman Nun Aleph, Saif Dalet, that it, based on the Rif, that it is Asur to speak in middle of Pesukei Dezimra. We're not allowed to speak, it's a hefsek, to be mafsik in between, from Baruch Shamar until after Shemona Yisrei. So, Rav Ashi Doron says, okay, but I said Shehakol already. I'm not going to speak now. So why can't I have a drink? What's wrong with texting my friends during davening, sending a WhatsApp message? I'm motioning to somebody. I'm not being mafsik. I'm not speaking at all. So he says, this is going to depend on a machloket. Is hefsek only a matter of speech? Or you're getting to, and you're a step ahead of me already. But is hefsek a matter of actions also? Is a hefsek of an action going to be a hefsek or not? And then the question is, why would that be? And then the answer might be kavana, exactly like you're saying. We'll see. He says how the Syrians on Hoshana Rabbah, and for all the Hoshanot, during Sukkot, the Syrians take out the Sefer Torah, not after Shemot Halel, but they take out the Sefer Torah for Hoshanot after, what should we call it? After Vayivarech David. And that way the Torah is out on the bima for all of Shacharit, basically. And this way they minimize the amount of talking that has to happen between Shemona Yisrei and Kaddish Tzidkabah.
That should be a minhag of all of them, Israel.
It would save a lot of time, right?
Right. Shuls will lose money, but it would be a great minhag.
Yeah, auction it before, maybe, but there won't be anyone there. So, enough people there to buy it, maybe. I don't know. I think it's a good idea, but because Sukkot comes and after Shemona Esrei, you're taking out your lulav next to the guy, and you just start talking to the guy next to you. Why? And you don't realize that it's before Tzitz Gabal. You're not allowed to talk. We told you you can talk, and there are many Gedolim and Tovim who do. I'm not saying that it's they're you know something wrong with them, but I would think that the Ikar HaDin is you're not allowed to talk. So the Syrians have this minhag in order to avoid.
David, do they say any mizmorim of taking out the shofar? Like
no, take it out. Just take it out.
I'm open. Take it out.
Right. So they're not speaking. They just leave it on the bima. They don't speak, but they did an action. Is that asur mitam hefsek or not? Apparently, they don't think so. The question is why not? So Rav Achshi Doron,
that's an action to maintain kavana. It's the opposite.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
That's like it's like the chazan banging on the bima to start Shmoneh Esrei and Musaf.
It's tzorach tefillah.
Yeah, it's to maintain the kavanah, to maintain right. The decorum.
Right, right. So that tzorach tefillah might be different. So here also, drinking is also tzorach tefillah. Right?
You got
it's
me.
It's just different tzorach. It's just a different thing. So Rav Achshi Doron discusses at length, you know, when we're allowed to speak in general. Someone says hi to me, can I respond to him? Can I say hi first to him? During Kriyat Shema, during Pesukei Dezimra. And how by Kriyat Shema, it's a big problem of Osek B'Mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah. It's inappropriate for me to, in the middle of talking to Hashem and praising Hashem, stop and talk, you know, non-holy things, mundane things to other people. And he says that could even be true without a bracha. Halal on Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to speak during, if you don't need to. And Rabbi Yehuda is like, why? There's no bracha. It must be. There is a bracha on Halal on Rosh Chodesh. Whereas, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's inappropriate. I'm talking to Hashem. How can I look down and look at the person's status on my phone during Halal when I'm talking to the Ribono Shel Olam? It's so mundane in comparison. And in addition to that, or on the other hand, really, speaking when you don't have to, when you're not an anus, is a problem during Kriyat Shema and its Berachot because there's a certain number of letters that are supposed to be there, a certain number of words. If you speak, then you're changing the number. In between Prakim, it's not as bad. When you're an anus, it's not as bad. But if you can minimize it, you're supposed to. So, okay, so I understand. Don't say a bracha during that time. What's wrong with drinking? Is it really just a matter of I'm having a hesach adat, I'm having a hefsek, my lack of kavanah? No, I'm helping my kavanah, says Rav Achshi Doron. So maybe I should be allowed to interrupt to have a drink. So what's Pesukei Dezimra all about? Rav Achshi Doron says it's all about inducing the necessary simcha, Sarashi and Berachot, inducing the necessary simcha to stand bifnei Hashem, and that needs careful attention. It's a chiyuv to say Pesukei Dezimra. It's upon us to do so. And he thinks that dibur would be a problem. But and there are those who say that silence is a hefsek, but he's not so sure that it would be here. So Rav Achshi Doron ultimately does not have a conclusion. And the Rivi Vod Ephraim, Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, it's a great Gaon who passed away a few years ago. He also goes to the sugya. He doesn't have an answer. He's not sure what to do. There are those who take approaches on both sides, really. Some say, asur, asur, asur. Others say, we're not sure. And others say, you know what? Might be okay. But really what Lema said, just to summarize for you, what everybody really says is that if you need it, B'diavad, shad hadachak, it's okay. Say a bracha before and have a drink. But if you don't need it, then don't get involved. It's a suffix if it's a hefsik or not. That is the opinion of Rav Ovadia, the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef, that it might not be a hefsik, it might not be a hesach hadach, but it's better not to get involved. Rav Yosef Bar Shalom, who used to be the chief rabbi of Bat Yam, he learned in Prat Yosef, he's a friend with Rav Ben Chaim, passed away a few years ago. Rav Yosef Bar Shalom in Vayitzbor Yosef, Chelik Bet Zion Yudzayin, says, if it's ga'ava to drink before davening, certainly it's ga'ava to drink during davening. What are you trying to do here? It's Hashem right in front of you. So he thinks, therefore, the chatchila, you have to avoid this as much as possible. And usually we say you shouldn't be holding things when you're davening because it might distract you, but here it's helping you daven. And therefore, just like a sidur, you're allowed to hold, your cup of tea while you're davening also. And the interesting thing is there's a great dayan, one of the greatest dayanim in Yerushalayim, is Rav Tzion Ba'aron. He was a candidate to be the Rishon Tzion this past round. Rav Yitzchak Yosef won, but Rav Tzion Ba'aron was basically second in the race to become the Rishon Tzion. He's one of the greatest dayanim in Yerushalayim right now. And he in Shaarei Tzion is adamant, that not only is Asur, if you said a bracha and you had a drink before tefillah, you got to say a new one right afterwards. The tefillah is mafsik entirely, your bracha is gone. And he proves this based on a Gemara in Chulin and a Gemara in Pesachim about the bracha on Kisui Hadam, if you do Shechita in between. Maybe that the bracha there counts, stays. You can keep the bracha going for more coverings of blood because you can do Shechita and cover the blood at the same time. Whereas by the Seder, when you say Birkat HaMazon, you have to say a new HaGefen on your cup of wine for the next one. Because you can't drink and say right. Birkat HaMazon at the same time. If you can't do both things simultaneously, then it's considered a Hefsek, and therefore he thinks here too. You can't drink during davening. You can't drink during Shemone Esrei and other points of davening. By Baruch Shamar already, he thinks is a full siluk. You've totally removed yourself, and therefore you cannot, you have to drink at that time, and you have to say new bracha later. That's his opinion, totally us. For sure, everybody says, after you start Yotzer Or, you can't drink. There are a lot who say, between Yishtabach and Yotzer, there's more room to be mekel, and it's okay. And then after all this, there's a whole discussion about the beracha. Maybe you should be allowed to say the beracha, maybe you're not. In Hilchot Pesukei Dezimra, every single case comes up. Can I say Shema if it's almost my Kriyat Shema? What can I answer? Can I say Kaddish if we didn't say Kaddish before? Can I say Vizora Torah? Can I get an Aliyah? Can I read the Torah? Can I do Birkat Kohanim? Etc., etc. All these questions come up during Pesukei Dezimra. But those are all Shevach Hashem. And therefore, there's a lot of room to be lenient. Here, you don't need to say this bracha. Who's forcing you? You don't need to say a shahakol. At the same time, if you went to the bathroom, which you had to because it's a toiva, not to, you might be allowed to say asher yatsar, even though you could really say asher yatsar later, and this should be no different. There are various poskim who take various approaches. Ultimately, they almost all agree. Almost all agree. Don't get involved if you don't have to. But if you need to, there's what to rely on to have that drink, and maybe even say the beracha during Pesukei Dezimra. Rav Yaakov Ariel is machir, he says, forget about it. Nothing during davening. Ever. Walk outside beforehand and drink. Don't even do it in shul. Whereas there are others who, in the Avnei Derech, Rav Elchanan Prince, who's a rav who lives in, I think, Yad Binyamin, in Eretz Yisrael. He has a very prolific writer. He's like 14 volumes in like 10 years. There's an unbelievable output for a rav and a rebbe to put out. In Avnei Derech, he says that there are those who think it's okay. And it's not as big of a deal. But halacha lemaase, Yalkut Yosef says, if you need to, you can. If you don't need to, don't get involved. And that seems to be the haskama of Rov on almost all of the postgame. And therefore, if one needs to, he only went to sleep, Baruch Hashem, he was learning until 3, 4, 5 in the morning on the El Shabbat. And then he went to Shachar in the morning, and he needs a chai. He's allowed to have a chai, and he's even allowed to drink it during Pesukei Dezimra. A person has health issues that he needs to also drink for, and again, it would be similarly permissible. Best thing is to say the beracha beforehand, though. That's really the halacha l'maaseh. And Bezat Hashem, next time, make sure that my plug doesn't come out before Shabbat. I won't have as many problems. Bezat Hashem. Okay, thank you, Rabbi Matt, for coming. Thank you very much.
Rabbi, you want to stop the recording? I want to tell you a funny story.
Sure. It's always good to stop the recording.